We are turning in the word of the Lord this evening to the Gospel of Mark, turning to Mark's Gospel and to the second chapter. That is Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and we shall begin our reading at the opening verse. Mark 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum, that is the Lord Jesus, after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that we may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Ending the reading there at the 12th verse with the earnest prayer. God will bless the public reading of his holy word to all of our hearts. Once again, could I ask, and before we come to the ministry of the word, that we would unite in prayer and pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Spirit of the living God to come amongst us tonight with great power. We need the Spirit's working. I need the Spirit's anointing. I need the Spirit's power. I need the Spirit's fullness. And that only comes through prayer. And we'll ask you to remember us now as we pray, that God will grant us the Holy Ghost tonight with power, and that sinners will be brought savingly to Christ this evening by the working of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Let us earnestly pray. Let's pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh upon us tonight. O loving and eternal Father, we come before Thee once again to deal with eternal matters. And O Lord, we think of Thy great servant Richard Baxter, who once said, Lord, help me to preach as though it's the last sermon I will ever declare. O gracious God, help us to preach with that earnestness, sincerity, to preach the word, Lord, as if it's the last time Thy Lord will grant to me the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and preach the word. O God, tonight souls are teetering on the very brink of eternity. It's as if, Lord, they're walking along a narrow path, the side of a steep mountain in the darkness. One wrong step and they're gone. O gracious God, tonight help us by Thy word to shine a light on that path. And grant, Lord, that that path will lead them tonight to the cross. O God, answer prayer. I'm pleading with Thee this night. Answer prayer. Answer the prayers of God's people in this church. Answer the prayers of mothers and fathers. Answer the prayers of Thy children. See the tears that they have shed. O gracious God, we look to Thee. We leave all before Thee. We ask Thee now to give us the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, help us to preach with power and to preach Christ and to preach the blood and to go after souls tonight, God helping us. In the Savior's holy name, I ask all these things. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And the third verse. And they come unto him, that is four individuals. They come unto him, unto the Lord, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. No matter where the Lord's ministry took him, he encountered a variety of responses to his preaching. There were some who were glad to hear his preaching. There were others who were mad when they heard him preach. And there were still others who went away sad. For example, he arrived at Capernaum, having crossed over the Sea of Galilee from a place where the people did not want him. Can you imagine such a thing? A people not wanting Christ. And this is what we read about those people. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. They besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. You take that word, besought. You find it often in the Gospels. You find it there describing the father who came to the Lord with his lunatic son and besought the Lord that he would heal and save his son. You find that there where Peter And some of his fellow disciples besought the Lord to heal his mother-in-law. And so it goes on. And they besought the Lord with all earnestness and sincerity. They had someone who was close to them, who was in need, and only Christ could meet that need. Now the same word is used of the men of the land of Gadara. They besought him. Oh, they didn't beseech him to heal them or to save them. They besought him to depart. The same determination and earnestness and sincerity that was used by others seeking the Lord for help, the same earnestness and determination was used by the men of Gadara in asking the Lord to depart. Leave us alone. Get out of our country. We don't want you. That's what they were saying. We don't want you. And over the past 3 weeks, there have been men and women and young people sitting in this tent, and they have done exactly the same thing. That's what they've said to Christ. They've said, we don't want you. Get away from me and from my life. I don't want you. The people of Gadara didn't want the Lord. So he returned. He only paid one visit to Gadara. And that one visit, he reached a man called Legion. He went all the way over Galilee to reach one soul. And when the people of Gadara didn't want him, he left them. The Lord will never go where he's not wanted. And my friend, if you tonight by your actions reject Jesus Christ and by your actions say, we don't want you, I want to warn you this evening. I want to warn you of this. If you reject Christ tonight, there's every possibility that he will leave you as he left the men of Gadara, never to return. He never went back to Gadara. Because they didn't want him. And maybe you have sat in this tent over this past 3 weeks, and by your rejection of Christ, you've said the same thing. We don't want you. Depart from me. Better be careful. He may leave your sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance, you have drifted away over the dead line at last. You know what I believe? For sinners who reject Jesus Christ during a gospel mission, that dead line is nearer than ever before. You may cross that deadline tonight. You've had 3 weeks of opportunity. 3 weeks of gospel preaching. 3 weeks of the gospel appeal. And you're near the deadline. You're near that point of no return. You're near that point where the Lord will not return to you. You're near it tonight. Be careful what you do with Christ this evening. He returned from the land of Gadara and came to Capernaum. And upon his arrival in Capernaum, he entered into a certain house, we're told. And amongst those who were gathered there, Luke 5, verse 17 tells us, there were the Pharisees and doctors of the law. Now, what was their response to the preaching of Christ? The men of Gadara didn't want them. How would the Pharisees and the doctors of the law respond to the preaching of the Lord? Well, that's just it. That's just it. They didn't respond. There was no response at all. Why? Well, we are told the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were, in verse 6 of Mark 2, they were sitting there. That's what it says. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. That's all they were doing. Just sitting there, occupying a seat in that house. Now, whenever you go to Luke's gospel, you will find that it is put another way by Luke. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law were sitting there, but Luke says that they were merely sitting by, observers, just sitting by. And I fear that is the same today in many a place of worship. And I feel for some that's the way it has been in this tent mission. You've come to the tent and you've been merely sitting by. Just sitting there. And the word of God has gone forth and the gospel has been preached. And it has little or no effect upon you. You've come to the mission perhaps just to oblige someone, just to get them off your back. And you've just been merely sitting by. Just sitting there, indifferent to the gospel and the message. Oh, my friend, indifference to the gospel is a terrible thing. It's good when you hear about men and women going home from a mission and they go home concerned and they go home convicted and they can't get to sleep at night. Glory to God, they can't get to sleep. At least something's happening in their hearts. But the thing that frightens you most of all and frightens the preacher is when men and women come and sit in a meeting and they go out unmoved and sleep as sound as a child after they hear a subject perhaps upon hell and the man who prayed in hell. That's the thing that concerns you most of all. There's no response. Like the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, they're merely sitting by. And they were merely sitting by as the Lord Jesus preached. But just like the men in Gadara who besought the Lord to depart, the Lord left the men in Gadara. And those who were merely sitting by, the Lord passed them by. My friend, again tonight, could I emphasize this? Could I set this before you? If you've come to the mission and you're merely sitting by tonight, the Lord may pass you by. And you might say, preacher, well, what's that to me? I don't care if he passes me by or not. Well, there's a burning hell awaiting you. You ought to care. There's a lost eternity awaiting you. You ought to care. There's a great white throne judgment being set up and you'll stand before it one day and you'll appear before it one day. You ought to care. I tell you, you ought to care. Because what I'm telling you tonight will come to pass. Oh, I'm not a prophet or anything of that nature. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. I didn't make that up. I didn't put that in the Bible. It was there. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Now, friend, if you've come tonight with the intention of merely sitting by, I want to tell you tonight, you better sit up and give attention to the Word. Because your soul's eternal welfare depends on it. It's what you do with Jesus Christ determines whether you'll be in heaven or hell. It's not what you do with the free church or what you say about the free church or say about the preacher or anything else. It's what you do with Christ. So it all comes down to what you do with Jesus Christ. That'll determine whether I'll see you in glory or I'll never see you again. These are the issues. Plain and simple. Heaven or hell. Christ or Barabbas. Your sin or the Savior. What's it to be? The Lord entered this house. Thankfully, there were those in that house who were genuinely interested in the Lord and what he had to say. We see here this evening that there was a man brought to the Lord and brought to that house by four friends. You know what I'm going to tell you? The four people that brought that man sick of the palsy to that house where Christ was, those four men were the best friends that man had. The people who seek to bring you to Christ are the best friends you have. I'm telling you. Forget about the boys that you stand at the bar with. They're not your friends. What do they care about your soul? Sure, they don't even care about their own soul. The best friends you have are those who endeavor to bring you to Christ. Your Christian friends are the best friends you have. I'm telling you. Your Christian parents are the best friends you have. I'll tell you something else, young people tonight. If you have a Christian mother and father, and they love you and they pray for you, you're the best parents any child could have. Because the fact that they pray for you shows how much they really love you. And nobody loves you as much as that as the person who prays for you, who cries to God on your behalf, who cries hot, bitter tears, because there's love in those tears. Your soul is in those tears. Your eternity is in those tears. Do you have somebody at home tonight who's praying for you as you sit here in this mission? Do you have somebody somewhere in this mission who you know is praying for you and has been? They're the best friends you have. best friends you have are those who pray for you and are interested in your soul. And here this man, sick of the palsy, we're told was born by four. But look at this. Look at the coming of the Master into this house. Matthew says, and again he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Matthew 9:1. The Savior regarded Capernaum as his earthly home, his own city. And now he has returned to his own city, which is an indication that he had been there before. Not right. He again returned to Capernaum. He had been there before. Look at verse 1 of Mark 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. He had been there a few days before. After some days, he's returning. And again, he entered into Capernaum. There's the return of the Master. He returned entering into this house, and there he preached the word unto them, it says. So let's look at this. Isn't it amazing how just one word? Now we know all of God's word is important. But here is one word that emphasizes something. It's the word again. He had been in Capernaum before and he's come back again. He's paying a return visit to Capernaum. Isn't it just as well? Isn't it just as well the Lord came back to Capernaum? If he hadn't returned to Capernaum, this man who was sick of the palsy would never have met Christ, never have been healed. Isn't it good that he returned? And he came back again? Isn't it good the Lord has come back again tonight through this mission? Isn't it good? Because you see, whenever a mission comes to a district and the word of God is preached, it's like the Lord is passing this way. He's coming by this way. Special effort has been made. Prayers are offered up to the Lord. More prayer meetings are held. More tracts are given out. More invitations to hear the gospel are given throughout the town. More people are invited to come. The Lord's passing this way. Isn't it just as well? You see, my friend, he's passing this way again to give you an opportunity to get right with him. One more opportunity. Just one more opportunity for you to accept him. I think that is most gracious of the Lord. I think that demonstrates for us his mercy. He didn't need to come back to speak to you again through his word. He could have cut you down yesterday. He could have taken you away this morning. But here you are tonight in the tent under the sound of the gospel. People around you who love you and pray for you. And the Lord has come back again to speak to you. To have a word in your ear. To have a word for your heart. You better seize the opportunity. For he may not come back again. Yes, I know there's one more meeting left. One more. But who's to say you'll be at that meeting? Nobody's to say. Here's your opportunity. As he went again to Capernaum, so he has come again to the Money Moor Road. And he's ministering the word. Here it is in this book. Know something? There's souls who have passed away out into eternity. And you are being given an opportunity tonight that they will never have again. Think of that. There are souls that are down there in the darkness. There are souls that are there crying out. Their voices can be heard echoing and re-echoing through the caverns of the damned. They'll never have another opportunity. Never. And you are being given an opportunity tonight that they will never have again. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this precious, precious, precious opportunity tonight? The Lord Jesus is passing this way. Look at something else in verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. It was noised. The word spread. You know how it is. One person speaks to another who speaks to another and says, have you heard? Jesus of Nazareth is in that house there in Capernaum. And the word was spread around. And people came and crowded the house, for they heard that he was there. And four men heard the news as well. And they got a hold of their man who was sick of the palsy, got him onto his bed, and made their way to that particular house. Now, I have no doubt there were those who went to that house out of mere curiosity that heard about Jesus of Nazareth. I have no doubt there were those who went to that house and they were hoping to see some miracle performed and heard all about his miracles. But those four men with the man sick of the palsy were there in a more serious business. They were there to get this man to Christ. They knew the Lord Jesus had returned to Capernaum. He had come back again. He was passing that way. And they had heard the report and they believed the report and they brought their friend to Christ. And I can report tonight. I can report this evening that Jesus is in this house. I can report that Jesus Christ is here in this tent through his word. As Mr. McRae said, where the two and three are met together in thy name, there am I. So we're guaranteed the Lord's presence here tonight. We're met in his name. The Lord's here. What do you think of that? Christ is here. I can report the Lord Jesus is here in the meeting. Just as the report went out, the Lord Jesus is in that house. And I can report as well that this same Jesus is able to save souls. I can report that this same Jesus can make the sinner whole. I can report that he can make the drunkard sober. I can report that he can make the harlot pure. I can report that he can make the blasphemer sing his praises. I can report that this Jesus can do what nobody else can do. He can make anew those lives that have been wrecked and destroyed by sin. He can build again homes and families that are separated tonight because of sin, he can make all things new. He can give rest to the troubled. I can report that he can mend broken marriages. Hallelujah. I can report that he can give children new fathers. Fathers that children have known nothing else but cursing and swearing and drinking and drunkenness. Oh, that father got saved here tonight. It was like having a new father in the home. That's what Christ can do. And he has done it. I'm not telling you any fairy story. I'm not giving you any theory. I'm declaring a fact. That's what he's able to do. He can change homes. He can mend marriages. He can heal the broken heart. He can give health to the sin-sick soul. He can bring joy to the sorrowful. He can bring hope to the hopeless. For you see, there's nothing my Jesus cannot do. Why would you want to go through life without such an individual, such a friend, such a Savior, such a Lord? Why? That's my report. If you want to know anything more, I'll tell you. And whenever I have exhausted my resources, as far as reporting to you what Jesus Christ has done for me and done for others, and you were to come to Jesus Christ tonight, you know what you'd tell me? You would say, "Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it." You would say, "Preacher, I have found more in Jesus Christ than ever you taught me." Because you see, his love is unfathomable. His grace is unfathomable. His mercy, his truth. Everything about him cannot be fathomed. He's the one I report to you tonight about. He's the one I tell you about. And just as that man was carried by his friends to that house because of what they heard about Jesus, will you not, through what you hear about Jesus tonight, come yourself to Christ? He's passing this way. Really comes home to the preacher. 3 weeks of preaching. 3 weeks. And now we're down to one meeting to go. And if ever there was a dangerous time in a time of missioning, it's the end of a campaign. Because the Lord and grace has come and given opportunity to people in Macrofelt and surrounding district to come and hear the gospel, to come and get right with God, to come and have their sins dealt with. And they haven't come. Praise God, some have. But what about you? You haven't come yet. You're entering a very dangerous time. I had a mission in Ballyclare when I was the minister of Newton Abbey. The week after the mission concluded, 3 weeks campaigning in the town hall in Ballyclare, on the road that led into Ballyclare, there was a tractor and trailer parked. And a man drove along that road and drove into the back of the trailer and was launched into eternity. That was less than a week after the campaign. Dangerous time. Dangerous time. And the Lord in mercy is giving you an opportunity tonight to come to Him. To accept Him as Savior before it's too late. You notice His reception. He received this man, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Is that a wonderful word? There were so many, so much that were that was there was no room to receive them. Now that doesn't mean there was a restriction in the part of Christ. It means the very opposite. The house couldn't hold them all. But let me say this loud and clear. If they all came to Christ that day, Christ would have received them all. Every one of them. But not everyone came. What did the Lord Jesus say as He stood there on the Mount of Olives and looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept over the city and cried over the city? Disciples standing beside Him, seeing the tears streaming down His cheeks as the Savior cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killed them that were sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wing, and ye would not." He would have gathered everybody in the whole city of Jerusalem. Then He said, "But ye would not. Ye will not come to Me that ye might have life." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something you can hardly understand? "Ye will not come to Me that ye might have life." Life. Life. Christ is the giver of life. You're dying. You're dying every day. You weren't born to live. You were born to die. Your soul is dead. And yet here's the Lord. And He's offering you life. Why will you not come? He'll receive sinners. Isn't that what they said about Him by way of criticism? And glory to God, the old critics never spoke a truer word. This man receiveth sinners. They spoke those words to condemn Christ. These old hypocrites. These old religious Pharisees. They wouldn't have anything to do with sinners, people they regarded as sinners. And they criticized the Lord and they said, "This man, why, he receiveth sinners. Why, he'll sit with publicans and sinners." Well, glory to God, He receiveth sinners. And glory to God, He's still receiving sinners. Praise His name, He has received sinners during this mission, and He'll receive sinners tonight. He'll receive all comers, bond and free, rich and poor. Doesn't matter who you are. Didn't He receive Saul of Tarsus? What was Saul? The chief of sinners. Didn't He receive Rahab? What was she? A harlot. Why, He receives lepers. He received the dying thief. He receives the sick of the palsy. Nobody else would. When the leper walked down the street, the old Pharisees, when they would see a leper coming, they would stop, turn right, and go down another street. Wouldn't he walk down the same street? Jesus never did that in all his earthly ministry. What a lovely Savior we have. What a blessed Savior we have. He never avoided a sinner. He received all who came to him. He received this man here. And he'll receive you. Don't worry about what you've done. Don't worry about what you've said. Don't worry about who you've offended. Don't worry about that catalog of sins that are down to your account. Let me tell you tonight, if you come to Christ, he'll receive you and he'll wipe it all out. Every sin you ever committed, he'll wipe it out by the power of his blood. Gee, you couldn't beat that. No need to worry about those past sins, those dark sins, those scarlet sins, those hidden sins, those shameful sins, those vile sins. He'll wipe them all out and they'll do it tonight. And when the old devil comes and reminds you of them, remind you about that sin you committed that night or that day, wouldn't want anybody to know about it, the old devil will remind you of it. You know what you can tell him? What though the accuser roar of evils I have done? I know them all, thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. None. Think of it. When they're under the blood, they're covered forever. Cast behind God's back, never to be remembered against you anymore, forever. Now, why would you refuse a Savior who's able to do that for you? He'll receive you. The word receive there means to receive to oneself. It's not as if the Lord will receive you and pass you on to somebody else. No. He'll receive you personally. He'll receive you in his arms. There's an awful disease described in the Bible. It's called dropsy. Hideous disease. Disfigures the person who has it. Disfigures his face. Nobody, but nobody, would dare embrace a man with the disease of dropsy. Jesus did. What do you think of that? He's a friend of sinners, you see. That's why. And sure, every one of us here tonight are as vile and as corrupt and depraved as the next man. But Jesus has received us. And sinner, he'll receive you. No matter how vile you are, sinful you are, filthy, Jesus Christ will receive you. All, mark the words, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, cometh to me. The Lord Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You can't sit there and say, preacher, I'd like to be saved, but I don't think the Lord would receive me. I don't think the Lord would have me. But he will. He will in no wise cast you out. That's broad enough to let you in, isn't it? No wise cast you out. So why don't you come? Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Hear in His Word. He's shown you the way. Hear in His Word. He tenderly says, come. Remember we mentioned that during one of the nights of the mission. Remember we said that word comes, a lovely word. And the Lord Jesus used it quite often. I remember doing a series of messages on those referenced to where the Lord Jesus said, come. But if you don't come, the other word you will hear is depart. Depart from me, I never knew you. Yes, you may have said in a tent mission on the Moneymore Road. You may have heard the gospel. You may have sung the hymns. You may have enjoyed the singing of the choirs and the individuals who raised their praises to the Lord. You may have enjoyed all those things, but the Lord will still say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why would He say that when you're attending a gospel mission? Why would He say that when you hold a Bible in your hand? Why would He say that when you sing the hymns and the psalms and the praise of the Lord? Why would the Lord say, depart from me? I'll tell you why. Because that's what you said to Jesus Christ when the appeal was made. You said to Christ, depart from me. That's what you said. Oh, you may not have said it audibly. You may not have shouted it out. You may not have put it in those words, but that's what you meant. You've said, Lord Jesus, leave me alone. One day He will. And you'll be lost. The time is going, but we'll look at the companions of this man who were on a mission. This poor man was unable to walk. He was paralyzed. But he had friends who cared about him. He said in the opening remarks, best friends you have, the people who care for you, care for your soul. And they endeavored to bring this man to Jesus Christ. That was their purpose. Not what it says. And they came unto Him. They wanted to bring their friend to the Lord. We're not hiding anything when I say, for 3 weeks, I, Rev. McRae, elders, committee, congregation, Brother Ryan, we've all been engaged in the same thing. A lot of effort has gone into it. Gone into what? To bring you to Christ. A lot of effort has gone into reaching you for the Lord. You see, we take to heart the words, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We believe in that. And would you think of this for a moment? Why do you think that such an effort has been put into this mission? There's another big tent up, I noticed, on the other side of town. Courtney's Circus. Why is that tent there? It's there to entertain people. Why is this tent here? It's here to save people. And would you think of it tonight? And think it over in your mind. Why has so much effort and expense and prayer and tears and man hours gone into this mission? To entertain you? To get you along to a tent just to entertain you? No. Not at all. If you feel that during this mission you have been in some way or other entertained, then I need to look to the Lord for forgiveness. Because it was never my intention to entertain anybody. The issues are too serious. Souls are hanging in the balance. Men and women are near a lost eternity. And I know what a lost eternity is because I see it in the Bible. The Bible tells me what a lost eternity is like. And I take the Bible at its word. I believe the Bible. Every word of it. Yes, I believe all it has to say about heaven. But I just as much believe what the Bible says about hell. And that's why this tent has been erected, to tell you the facts, to tell you the truth, to endeavor to rescue your soul, endeavor to bring you to Jesus Christ. Wonder who those four men were. Says he was born of four. Wonder who they were. We're not told. Maybe it was this man's four brothers. Who knows? Maybe it was a father and three of his sons. But I believe that during this gospel tent mission, mothers and fathers and other saved loved ones have had their hand on the bed, as it were. With you on it. And they have done all they can. I've heard them pray. I have prayed with them. I've heard them over in the little cabin there pray. We heard names mentioned in that cabin every night. Because your loved ones, your friends, your family have been endeavoring to get you to Christ, to bring you to the Lord. Now, these four men were able to carry a man sick of the palsy. My friend, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could get three of my friends and go over to you and to you and to you and carry you up and tell you we're going to carry you to Jesus tonight. We're going to carry you to the Lord tonight. But you know I can't do that. But that's what we're after. That's what we're desiring. That's what we're preaching about. That's what we're praying about. Getting you to Jesus Christ. Getting you to the Lord. Because if we don't get you to Christ, we'll not see you in glory. You'll not be there. You'll not be there. You'll not be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll not be numbered with that great multitude of people that no man can number. You'll not be there. You'll not be numbered with those who made their robes white and washed them in the blood of the Lamb. You'll not be there. Just feel like crying out at this moment, oh God, let them be there. Oh Lord, tonight save them and let them be there in heaven with us. Don't let them go down to hell. Don't let them go down into the caverns. We don't want them there. Friend, we want you with us. We want you in heaven. We want you in the glory land. We want to see you saved. We're bringing you to Christ, and we're bringing you to one who will receive you. He will. So what about it? Time is gone. Would you look there at that story? Man sick of the palsy. You notice there what the Lord Jesus dealt with first. He dealt with his sin. He said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. Dealt with the sin problem first. That was his priority. That's a priority here tonight. You need your sin dealt with. And only Jesus can do that. Could in the closing moments of this meeting, could I appeal to you from the depths of my heart, God knowing my heart, can I appeal to you tonight to come to Jesus Christ? I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to die in your sin. I don't want you to pass out into a lost eternity. I want you to be saved tonight. That's why the mission is here, to bring you to Christ. Will you do that? Will you come tonight? He's passing this way, giving you another opportunity. Will you come? Remember, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. May God tonight have mercy on your soul and save you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The last Friday night of the campaign, the Lord's passing this way, giving you one more opportunity. God has spoken to your heart. You're concerned. You're sitting there in your chair and you're concerned in heart. Maybe you've been here before and you've been concerned. You've gone home concerned. You've lay awake at night troubled about your soul. You come tonight to Christ and the trouble will be over. You'll have peace that passeth all understanding. He gives his children peace. God has spoken to your heart tonight. As I've done on previous evenings, the Lord has spoken to your heart. And you'd like to be saved. You want to become a Christian tonight. You want to come to Jesus. Would you indicate that for us just now by simply slipping up your hand anywhere in the meeting? The Lord is speaking to you now. You're troubled in heart. Now, why would you put it off? The Lord has been merciful. If you'd like to be saved tonight, would you indicate to us by simply raising your hand, I'll acknowledge it, and then you take it down. And we'll pray for you at the end of the meeting, and afterwards we'll go over to the little prayer cabin and open the Bible and show you how you can be saved tonight and know it and go home a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Anywhere in the meeting. Soon be over. Is there one tonight? Let's say it. Just raise that hand right now. When I say it, I'll acknowledge it and then take it down. Anywhere tonight, anywhere, come now. Be brave, courageous tonight. Make it tonight. Let's see that hand now. Will not embarrass you, trouble you. Like to see you saved. Anywhere tonight in the meeting. Why will you not come? As I said in previous nights, if you raised your hand but I didn't see it, or you're sitting there troubled and bothered, know what you have to do, know what you should do. But you have a word with us at the door. God's in this meeting. I look across this congregation tonight and I can see God is here. There's brokenness tonight. You have to trample underfoot those tears. Will you come tonight? Would you have a word with me at the door? Or with Mr. McRae? Or Mr. McKee? Don't leave. In the name of the Lord Jesus, my Savior, don't leave without him tonight.